Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello.
So what's going to happen in this episode is we are going to dig into a tool, a question that will advise you to use on a regular basis to make sure that you are making the best of the time that you're spending working on your business. We're going to talk about what that question is, and then we're also going to give you some examples because it's not quite as black and white as it might sound. So the question, Kate, what's the question?
The question is, why did you forget the question? The question is, business builder or time waster?
Ooh, good. We certainly want to focus on business builders and not time wasters, right?
Of course. But they're so sneaky.
Exactly. The trickiest thing comes in is that there are some things that can start out or can seem like business builders or things that will move your business ahead. But the more time you spend on them, the more they become a time waster. I think a prime example, maybe a great place to start out, is posting on social media. If you are posting on social media with the purpose of putting yourself out there, of attracting the eyeballs of clients and, you know, the rest of their bodies as well, eyeballs first, then yes, absolutely. That can be a business builder. But
when you're posting with the purpose of, I think I see two things. One, that we start to forget who our audience is and who we're talking to. I think often as copywriters, we start writing to other copywriters naturally and not actually our clients that we want to attract to our business. The other thing, I think we get focused on vanity metrics. Likes, comments are great, but again, if they're not from your clients and you're not seeing the people engaging with your posts that are going to help build your business builder, ding, 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 then it's leaning into the category of time waster if that content that you're creating is not serving its intended purpose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you post a couple of times and you aren't getting any engagement, or if you just get likes, but people don't comment, people don't, beyond that, reach out to you, people don't want to
DM you,
people don't DM you, all that kind of thing, that's a really good test to see, is your business builder actually building your business? And certainly we're not saying post one thing. If you don't hear anything from that one thing, then scrap it completely. That's not at all what we're saying. You do have to give it the old college try. But
That doesn't mean that, okay, well, I'm going to post every single day for 30 days and that's going to be that it would take a massive amount of time. So yes, do a test, but you also don't have to go all in on this test. Maybe it's something like, all right, for the next 3 months, I'm going to post one thing on LinkedIn or, you know,
Pick your platform.
Exactly. And see what kind of engagement and I get. And I'm going to have it focused on my target audience. I'm going to have it be useful to them. I'm going to have it be probing and ask questions, be provocative, get them to think, get them to evaluate their messaging and see where there might be holes in their messaging. I'm going to do that once a week for 3 months. And then I'm going to evaluate whether or not I actually saw that move the needle. Did I get clients from that? And then I'm not even saying that you need to stop doing that completely, but then maybe you don't do it once a week. Maybe you do it once every other week or something like that. But if you are truly evaluating one of your quote unquote business builder techniques or tasks, and it's not actually building your business, then you have to scale it back because you don't have time to be spending time on it's a time waster. You don't have time to waste. We all have limited time in our day. And on top of the fact that any time that you're not spending building your business is, well, time that you are not making money. You are not landing new clients. You are not doing things to move yourself toward your goals. You're keeping yourself stuck in the same place.
Mm-hmm. And I think the best advice when it comes to posting on social media is to start with a cadence that is achievable and being realistic about that. Because I think we go out guns blazing saying, you know, I'm going to post every single day and I'm going to do that for a month, 2 months, 3 months. That becomes 90 plus posts that you have to come up with and create. And so thinking, okay, maybe I'll start every other week or I'll start once a week, whatever it is that's actually like, I know you can achieve it and knock it out of the park and do it well, and be able to then track it, because that's another time component too, to say, okay, of the people who have started following me, of the people who have commented or engaged or DM'd, have any of these people turned into leads? Have I had any sort of discovery calls with any of them? Have any of them even remotely expressed interest? And so gauging that as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because it's not just the task. It's also about the amount of time you spend. And again, we're not saying that you shouldn't pursue different paths to get clients. You absolutely should. But if you're spending 5 hours posting on social media and you're not getting anything out of it, you could be spending at least 4 of those sending pitches and then absolutely getting something out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just evaluating the task. It's also evaluating how much time you spend on the task, how much effort it takes you to spend on the task. If you find that posting on social media requires a lot of creativity, a lot of energy, that's burning up a lot of really valuable, really brain activity that you could be spending doing something that you know is going to move your business forward.
Yeah. And it's also that element of it can be really, really fun and you can enjoy it. And absolutely do what you enjoy. But at the same time, if that valuable, to Nikki's point, eating up your valuable creative energy and you have client work you need to be doing, but you're using it for the more fun project, at a certain point you need to say, okay, this is fun and I like doing this, but I'm going to save this for any additional hours I have in the week that goes beyond kind of like thinking of like extra credit. You know, you're doing the stuff that is going to build your business first. You're prioritizing that. And then something like this, because you enjoy it, becomes, okay, I'll save an hour on Fridays for that or whatever it is. And being very guarded with your time and how you're spending your time, which is kind of the theme of this whole episode. Yeah, surprise.
Absolutely. Okay. Business builder or time waster? Choosing the perfect URL for your website.
This is another one where the time I would recommend to spend on this is very, very little. You can go with your name. you can always change it later too. Surprise. That's, you're not locked in. I think people think it's got to be the perfect business name. My clients will think I'm more professional if I have a business name. And that's absolutely not true, especially when they're working with you. To have your name is perfectly fine. I think the other thing people get hung up on is, well, my name's hard to say.
Yeah.
No one knows how to spell sitars.
Right. Krozik. Trimming Krozik or sitars. Yeah.
My URL is katesitars.com. No one is ever typing my URL into a browser. They are clicking on it from a link that I hyperlink in an email, or I'm texting it to them, or whatever it is. It's something that they can click on. I don't think anyone is ever manually typing. Maybe they are. People Google, I guess. Maybe they butcher the name. Sure, maybe. But then it comes up in Google and boop, there it is. And they click it. So there's never... That's not something to get hung up on, is all that's to say. Well, it's hard to spell and they're going to spell it wrong. Well, great. They're going to be clicking on it. They're going to be, you're going to be sending a pitch and they're going to be clicking on your URL from your pitch.
Or come up with something else. My portfolio site is nikkicopy.com. And yes, do they still mess up Nikki? Absolutely. But it's better than Krozik. There's a lot of consonants in there. But the point is that do you need a URL for your business? Absolutely, because you need a website for your business. But there comes a point when trying to choose the perfect URL becomes a time waster instead of a business builder. You know, we will sometimes see new copywriters spend weeks trying to choose the polling in the CCA group, trying to, well, I asked so-and-so and then I asked so-and-so and then I tried this and then it didn't work. And then just pick one. At a certain point, things like that go from being something that is useful and they turn into an exercise in resistance, right? With perfectionism is almost always that resistance voice being like, well, you can't move forward until you have the perfect URL. And all that your brain is doing is, we know, we talk about how the resistance is so insidious. Mm-hmm. All it's doing is keeping you from taking action by telling you that the only way to be successful is to have the perfect URL. So if you're not sure, you should poll everybody and, oh, I don't know, maybe you should go back to that other one. Maybe you should think about it a little bit longer. When all that's happening is that you're not moving forward. You're staying in that comfort zone because you're letting that resistance voice cycle through your mind instead of making a decision and moving on. So at the beginning, yes, the point, choosing your URL, absolute business builder. Any time that you spend on that beyond, I would say, maximum an hour, maximum. Most of you will be able to choose one in like 10 minutes or less. You might think of one. You have to go search and see if it's already taken. Oh, that's already taken. Let me come up with another one. Maximum an hour. Anything beyond an hour takes it from business builder to time waster.
Yeah. Our brains like to lie to us because no client, I promise you, is even looking at your URL going to remember your URL, your business name. Again, they're working with you. So they'll probably remember your first name as they work with you. Oh, Kate, our copywriter, Nikki, our copywriter, they are not going to take the time to even internalize what your name is, most likely. They're going to look at your work on your portfolio. They're going to see what you do, and they're not going to care. And this, I would lump into this, your business email of whether you need the @yourdomain.com or if you can use a Gmail. I forget the example that you used in another video, Nikki, but I think it was like, you know, Bart Simpson 521 @hotmail.com or whatever. So as long as it's not that.
Unless your name is Bart Simpson, in which case.
This is true. Fine. But you want something obviously that comes across as professional, but the actual domain at whatever isn't necessarily going to be a mark of your professionalism. I continue to use my Gmail and no client has ever said a word. In fact, I have a lot of clients that end up giving me emails for their businesses to interact with their teams and their clients, which is fine. But yeah, it's
time waster. Same thing. And we go back to this again and again. We talk about a logo. You don't need a logo. So if you spend any more than 5 minutes
anytime
deciding on whether you need a logo or not, let it go. I think another one that comes into this is posting in Facebook groups, which is not within the CCA. Post in our Facebook group, absolutely, because it's an opportunity to learn. That is truly business building, or at least skills building, which will lead to business building. But when you join other Facebook groups, potentially to find clients, awesome. But it goes again to that how much time are you spending and how many results are you getting? You know, our students know that when you are in Facebook groups and you post helpful things, you know, you'd be surprised at how many Facebook groups you're in and people say, oh, my landing page isn't converting. Does anybody have any ideas? And you, as the copywriter, can just go in and say, hey, you know, I noticed that as a copywriter, I love doing this kind of stuff. I noticed that. Give them one tip. And then say, you know, let me know if you'd like to talk a little bit more. And then maybe you can make a connection from that. Maybe they DM you and you get a call, whatever, turns into a client. Awesome. Fantastic. In some groups, that's going to work like gangbusters. In other groups, that's just not how people interact. So if you're trying that again and again in groups and you're not getting anything out of it, or if you're trying that, like we said, a couple hours a day or every single day and you're not getting anything out of that, scale it back. This is another thing that, yes, can that be a business builder? Absolutely. But if it's not working for you, or if it's not working in the way that you do it, then it's a time waster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two things here. I would, you need to track how much time are you spending every day? How many comments are you spending in every day? And how many clients then result from that? And track this, I would say, maybe on a monthly basis of looking at how much time you've spent and what you've gained from it. The other thing, set a timer for yourself, put it on your phone, say, okay, I'm going to go into this business group and I'm going to leave comments. I wouldn't even put a number of comments, because some comments you might need to weigh in longer, and it might take you 15 minutes to write something, or another one might take you five or whatever. So to say, I'm going to do five is a little bit arbitrary. Instead, just say, okay, I'm going to set a timer for 15 minutes, or if it's 20, whatever your timer number is, 15 to 30. I wouldn't necessarily go beyond that, especially if you're doing it on a daily basis, and to say, okay, hit timer, go, see what you can do and what feedback you can offer, and then get out, because it's so easy to get sucked into Facebook or to end up on another group page that has nothing to do with copywriting. And then all of a sudden you're like, how much time did I spend on Facebook? I don't even know. And if you want to track that, go to your search history and see when you, all the windows that have popped up and what, around what time you started to get on Facebook. And you might realize you're spending a lot more time there than you actually intended.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And kind of along those lines too, is that in Facebook groups or in real life, you know, there are Facebook groups like the CCA student only Facebook group, which is to talk about practice and to talk about building skills and to ask questions and get answers and all that kind of thing. But there are also other Facebook groups for copywriters where they network. Or maybe they share, oh, I came across this podcast and it was really great. Or have you guys seen this? Awesome. Super useful. I shouldn't say super useful. Potentially super useful. But again, it's about evaluating, and that networking in real life and networking in these groups. First of all, networking with other copywriters can be beneficial. Sometimes other copywriters will send you work. That's great. But if you're spending all of your time in a group that is full of people who are not potential clients, again, that's not business building. It veers into time wasting. If you go on for 5-10 minutes and you get, oh, I want to check out that podcast episode or whatever, great. But if you're spending a half hour, hour, and all you're doing is talking to other copywriters in these groups, then you've got a problem. Because it ends up being, yeah, well, my client did this, or yeah, it did. And it's just talking about clients and talking about the work instead of doing the work. And again, the CCA group is different because we're actually practicing and getting feedback and talking about techniques to get more work and to get more clients and all that kind of thing. But if you're finding yourself just in these other Facebook groups, just talking to other copywriters, and same thing with networking too. You know, we see so many people who are like, yay, oh, I joined this group and it's other copywriters, or I joined an in-person networking group and I'm going to be meeting with, and in the group, there's a dentist and there's a veterinarian and there's a grocery store owner and it's yes, you might get some work out of that. But the whole point of those networking groups is to refer. So yes, you might get some work from the grocery store owner. You might write for the dentist, but they're not going to be able to refer the same way that a dentist is going to be able to refer their clients to an insurance agent, because they're all dealing with consumers. Anyway, my point is, when you're in networking groups, whether it's online or whether it's in person, evaluate whether these are really people who are you. Networking can be so beneficial, but only if you're networking with the right people. If not, it's a time waster.
Again, another fun time waster. Time wasters can be super fun. So I think that's the key to, okay, it's fun, but is it actually moving things forward? And I know you mentioned the word podcast. So let's talk about podcasts to get a little meta here. You're listening to a podcast. Is it a time waste or is it a business builder? And I would say it could go either way. Yeah. I don't like to think of us as a time waster by any means. We try to pack a lot into each episode. We don't try to, beat around the bush with these. But I would say if you're not taking away something from whatever, whether it's ours or another podcast that you listen to or a book or whatever it is, you'd be like, okay, I read this. That was great. That was so inspiring, so interesting. What's one thing you're going to actually do to implement in your business that'll help it grow, help streamline processes, help something in a way that is beneficial to your business? So one thing we do with our next level students that I would recommend you try with these materials that you're consuming, at the end of our virtual events that we do with next level students, we do full day virtual events to say, okay, what's one thing, idea that you want to implement by the end of this week, or at least have a plan for implementing by the end of this week? What's one thing you want to do by the end of the month? And then what's one thing that you're going to put in your parking lot that you really want to get to, but you know it's not, it's not a priority and it's not something you have the time to do within the next month or so. And so doing that with the information that you're consuming so that you have a record of it. It's not just in your brain. It's now out, and that you then say, okay, I'm going to actually use this. And whether it's forming a habit and it's saying, okay, in order to form this new habit, I'm going to do this every day for a week until it's just ingrained in me, or whatever it is, you need to actually use the information that you're consuming for it to be a business builder.
Yeah, I'm really great. Really glad you brought this up, because I think it's one of the trickiest business builder versus time waster, right? Well, it's like, well, I'm listening to this business podcast. Well, I read this business book. Well, I did. It is very easy to fill your schedule with consuming content, because there's so much amazing content out there, right? There are so many fantastic podcasts and amazing books, and there's so much out there. You could fill up not just 8 hours, you could fill up 24 hours of your day consuming content. But to Kate's point, if you don't do anything with it, then it's not a business builder. It's a time waster. And some people, and I absolutely am guilty of this sometimes. I also just get a kick out of, like, when I finish all of my podcasts for the day, I'm like, look at me. I completed something. I'm a winner. No. Listening to podcasts doesn't count as, like, one of the important tasks of the day. But our brain loves that dopamine hit of crossing stuff off the list. So when I finish that last podcast, I'm like, yes, check me out. I'm that weird person who, when I buy things from my Amazon list, I'm like, yes, dopamine hit, because I just bought something. But it's very easy to get caught up in that. Like, well, all right, I completed a book. I read a book. I completed it. And that's where the work begins. It's the same thing with a course, right? And our CCA students know this. Mm-hmm. I think there are some people, and not just anybody who buys a course. We're a multi-brand company. We have a lot of people who buy courses. Also, we purchase courses to learn more things all the time. And I will fall into this sometimes too. It's you think, all right, I'm going to buy the course, and you buy the course and you're like, awesome, accomplished it. No. All I did was pull out a credit card. Now it's time to actually learn from the course and put that into use. I think it's one of the trickiest things that can seem like a business building technique. But again, if you're not using it, just like Kate said, it's actually a time waster. And it's that resistance going, well, you know what? Maybe you should learn more about this. Maybe you should research this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should see if there's a podcast about this. And that was a good episode. Maybe you should go back and listen to more of the podcasts. And you know what? Keep going more. Oh, they have a lot of episodes. Why don't you listen to all of those episodes? It's a form of procrastination instead mm-hmm. of doing the things that you really need to be doing.
Yeah. So I feel like we've talked a lot about how to evaluate whether something's a time waster or a business builder, but there are a few things we want to make sure we touch on that are almost always business builders so that when in doubt, you can default to these things, because I think it gets very easy. Sometimes we see it in the CCA a lot where maybe you're outreaching to designers or you've sent a couple of pitches and then you're in this place where you're still building your business or want to, you know, actively work to build your business. You're kind of waiting. You're like, well, this is out here and this is out here. So what do I do? For this situation in particular, but obviously in any other, if you're already grown your copywriting business, these are still good things to fall back on when you have quote unquote free time. And the first one might seem obvious, but I'm going to start with is pitching. Pitching's always going to be a business builder. And by pitching, we mean CCA students know value-based pitches, not a template, not something that you're mass sending out to 50 different emails that says the same exact thing. No. Mm-hmm. Bears repeating.
Exactly. You're providing value in that pitch. And our CCA students know exactly how to do that.
Exactly. And so that's always going to be a great way to build your business. The more pitches you have out in the world, the more potential opportunities you have coming back to you.
Yeah. I think one of the mistakes sometimes that newer copywriters will make is that they get really excited about a pitch. Oh, I really want to work for this company. And they send out a pitch and they wait for the response to that pitch instead of, okay, I've sent that pitch. Now let me move on to the next one and then send that pitch and then send that pitch. And then each pitch that you send out, that if you're sitting there waiting, it's like sitting and waiting for the phone to call. If there's somebody you really like and you want them to call you, it also puts so much emphasis on it. It makes that pitch overly important, right? When you're, that's the one. I went, no, it's not the one. There are millions of companies out there. Send that pitch and then it will make it a lot less stressful to wait to see if you hear something back if you keep sending out other pitches to other companies.
The goal should be to forget about that pitch as soon as it goes out until you have to send the follow-up a week later. And you have a tracker for that. And so you should always have you out of sight, out of mind. And quite frankly, I think the other thing that we think about too, when you're first starting out, especially, but you send a pitch and it's almost like you're waiting to hear back to get some sort of, well, if they said no to this, then something was wrong with this pitch, or I need a new way to approach it. When in actuality, we're sending individualized pitches to different clients. So there's not a lot you can glean, especially because every client is in a different place. The reason why they might not get back to you at one company is a different reason they might not get back to you at another, or vice versa. The reason that they reach back out to you and say yes at one company might be a different reason than another company. Maybe one company, exactly what you said in the pitch is exactly what they need. At another company, maybe it's not what they need, but it's what you said. And it showed that you were thinking strategically about their business and they liked that and they need your services for an entirely different project. There are so many reasons why companies will say yes, no, not respond to your pitch. Maybe they're on vacation. So many things. And we get in our heads and make all sorts of assumptions about why, what's going on, why they might say yes, why they might say no, when instead we should just not think about any of that and go on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then along those same lines, send your follow-ups. That is always business building. Mm-hmm. That said, don't send more than two. We've heard some people say, well, I've heard a coach that says you're supposed to send six or send eight follow-ups. No, at that point, you're just annoying. I will see people send those kind of follow-ups to me. And that's when I'm getting six, that's when I'm starting to like, I'm just going to mark this person as spam. They're never going to leave me alone. Send two. And as our students know, these also convey value, but they're very, very simple. So you send your two out and then move on to the next.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the fifth at this point follow-up from someone who had pitched it. And it was all the follow-ups have been, one of them was, have you done this yet? And then the next, which was like, whoa, 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 you're asking us for a favor and that's your follow-up. Mm-hmm. And then the most recent was any word? Question mark? No, hello, no, no. So
yeah, I got one that was something like, I guess you're not interested in building your business then. Like, okay, listen, buddy. Yeah, that's, as our CCA students know, that is not the tone that we take. We're not looking to actively push away our potential clients. Another business builder is to go in on a regular basis and update the samples in your portfolio. Ooh, yeah. It is so easy to forget to do that when you are working with clients, to be like, oh, I haven't actually updated my samples in like 6 months.
A year.
So go schedule in some time to do that regularly. Maybe it's once a quarter. It certainly doesn't have to be every month if you want to. Great. But once a quarter, go in, update your samples, make sure to update the descriptions along with your samples, all of that important information. But that is always going to be beneficial as well, because as you get better and better samples or more and more, sometimes if you have a better version of something else, then you swap that out. Our students know that if you swap out spec pieces as you get paid pieces in there. But then also, you may just add more and more samples. But that's always going to be beneficial to you, to highlight the excellent work that you do. Mm-hmm. And then also this one, it's kind of interesting because I feel like people are going to kind of go, but I could go down a rabbit hole. There is one place, CCA students will know, there's one place where Kate and I say,
Only one.
Yeah, really only one. Go ahead and go down a rabbit hole. And that is when it comes to making the list of potential clients to pitch. Run wild. You know, go to a website and see where that website takes you and see where that ad takes you and see where make your list of your potential clients. Now, here's the thing though. You can't just make a list of potential clients and not also pitch them. So if you're just making a list, but you don't have it on your schedule to send pitches to these clients, then that becomes a time waster. If you're never going to pitch these companies, but you're making a list of companies to pitch, see the problem there? That's where it gets into time wasting. But if I find that making that list of potential companies for me is especially good in the times when my brain is just exhausted from pitching, from writing, from all of that kind of stuff, that's the time when it's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to give myself a half hour, 45 minutes, middle of the afternoon, and I'm going to open up my Excel doc or my Google sheet, and I'm going to see where the internet takes me. Oh, like, oh, that company's cool. Name of company, URL. See where the next one. Oh, and they're
putting notes along the way, oh, they had a really great about page, but what they could really use is this, or, oh, I signed up for this email but it was missing this type of email in the welcome sequence that I think could be really whatever it is. And just putting your notes and thoughts into that sheet too. Mm-hmm. So that when you go to pitch, your pitching is a lot easier if you has set you up for success.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that is probably the one, one place where you say, just see where the internet takes you, or go for a walk in your city and see what businesses there are, pop indoors and see what's listed. But you can explore a little bit there, because building up that list of companies to pitch is just going to make it that much easier to pitch them. Because when you sit down and go, oh, now I have to pitch, you don't have to go, who am I going to pitch? But again, the key is combine that list with some scheduled time to pitch, not just, I'm going to send some pitches this week. If you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen, friends. Schedule that time. Pitching is always going to be a business builder.
Always a good idea.
Always a good idea. So as you're balancing your other activities, your other outreach activities, just make sure, like we said earlier, that the efficacy is right up there, or at least as close as can be with pitching. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time spinning your wheels and doing stuff that is not landing you clients. And you're going to come to us and you're going to say, Kate, Nikki, I've been doing all this stuff. My outreach is amazing, but I'm not getting any clients. And we'll say, okay, well, you've been spending a lot of time on something that's not getting you clients. So how much time have you been spending on something that is getting clients? How many pitches have you sent? Oh, well, actually, I haven't sent any pitches in a couple of months. And we'll say, oh, dear friend, we love you so much And this is not the first time we've heard it.
No.
So to avoid having that conversation with us, evaluate your tasks. And really, it can be tough sometimes to take a hard look at your activities, because mm-hmm. there are things that we want to do because they feel comfortable. And then there are other things that we kind of don't want to do because they're a little bit less comfortable. But a lot of this, again, we talk again and again about treating your business like a business, and that can be one of the things that makes the biggest difference. If you putting your CEO hat on and looking at the activities that your quote unquote team, I know it's all you, but looking at the activities that your team is doing, if your team is spending a lot of time on something that's not getting you any results, as the CEO, you go, whoa, screech, turn around and head down a road that's going to get you those results. It can be very tricky, but we have to step out of the objectively, I'm more comfortable here, or this makes me uncomfortable, and think, all right, well, this is an activity that we're actually getting results on. So we're going to spend more time on this activity.
And it'll get more comfortable the more you do it.
Get more comfortable the more you do it. Great point, Kate. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So our challenge for you is to look at the things that you're doing on a daily basis and apply that. Is this business building, or is this time wasting? And again, it's not just about the task. You also have to factor in the amount of time that you're spending on that task and the results that you're getting from that task. And that is how you take yourself to that next step up in your career as a copywriter. Okay, so with that, we will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.